Oh, listeners, I don't know how much you know about mushrooms, but we're going to be talking to Krista Towns, who has a cookbook out called Mushroom Gastronomy, and she knows a whole lot about mushrooms. So you're going to pick up a lot of information after you pick up her book as well. Krista, I keep, every time I think of mushrooms, I think to myself, people always say, who was the brave soul who ate the first oyster? But I wonder how many poisonous mushrooms people had to eat before they figured that one out.
Oh gosh, it's a scary question, isn't it?
Well,
They're
I mean,
out
when,
there.
yeah, well, I mean, I forget where we were living, and we went down DC, I think. And we went to a meeting of a mushroom foraging group, and the president of the group was doing a presentation. And as much as she knew, she also got fooled by a mushroom and ended up hospitalized.
Oh geez. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But yeah, it happens. You have to be careful out there in the woods. There's several. Yeah, there are a lot of lookalikes.
Well, first of all, I mean, how. You talk about all the different kinds of mushrooms, and there are so many. You've been at this a long time. Tell our listeners about how you ran around in the woods when you were growing up.
Oh, well, that was, I was kind of before mushrooms. I at that point I was just enjoying exploring the woods. I was kind of a tomboy, and yeah, I tasted the wild licorice and did the typical kid thing, just hung out in trees and just looking for places to explore. I loved being in the woods. My fascination for mushrooms came later, and I don't even think I came across. We were in Ohio. I don't if I did I don't recall. I know they're always growing in the backyard, mushrooms, but I like to just go and explore in the woods. I had a pony at the time, and I'd ride bareback through the woods on my pony and go through the woods. It would be have great adventures. At least at the time, they seemed like great adventures.
Yeah, well, you're very much an outgirls, outdoors type of girl, I
I
guess.
was.
What, I guess, first of all, I mean, I've always loved mushrooms. But why all of a sudden is everybody interested in mushrooms? And there's a restaurant that's all mushrooms in New York City, isn't it New York City? And yeah, I think it might even be Brooklyn. I don't remember now. But everybody seems to be crazy about mushrooms now. Why is that?
I'm glad to see that. I'm not exactly sure. I think, well, and that's one reason I wrote the book is when I was exploring mushrooms on my own, growing them, and doing some foraging, I just came across some amazing, beautiful. They're beautiful. They're beautiful sculptural. There's so many varieties. A different taste to each one of them have unique flavors. The vitamins and the nutrients in them are just through the roof. What's really some people seem to have a fear of them. Either because they're afraid of eating a, I've heard people say they're afraid to eat mushrooms from stores. They're afraid that maybe could be poisonous that they've stuck one in there in the packages. So I'm trying to alleviate some people's fears about mushrooms. I'm glad they're
Yeah,
picking
well,
off.
restaurants. I mean, I keep thinking about. We used to have people come and knocking on the restaurant door, foragers who had a bag full of mushrooms, and that could be risky, couldn't it?
Well, that's why I have a well. I got my I have a forager certification. I studied for it. It was like a 3-day course and very intensive. And I have the certification to do that. Where you it's certification for food service where I can go forage in the mush. You won't see me doing this, but yes, I can. Safely pick out mushrooms and sell them to restaurants. So now they do require people that forage and for restaurants to have some knowledge, some certification before you can sell for public consumption. So that makes it a little safer. And really, if you know what you're, it's not that difficult. They really most of the good edible mushrooms, even out in the wild, you can pretty much tell the it's pretty easy to tell the the good ones from the bad. If you're thorough and when you examine them, there's a lot of different ways to determine which ones are safe and which ones aren't. They're spore.
Well, you know, my grandmother, I can't remember what the coin was, but she used to boil a mushroom with a coin. And if the coin turned a certain color, it was poison. The mushroom was poisonous. Did you ever hear about that one?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I'd say, if I, well,
but
maybe
nobody
I'll try
died.
It.
I mean, I guess the must have some basis.
That's a good story, though.
Well, you say. You have a whole section here on safety with mushrooms, which would be well worth a newcomer's time to pay attention to. But you don't like raw mushrooms, do you?
Well, even if you're buying raw mushrooms from the typical agaricus is the name of a button mushrooms, button, chameleon, portobello, you can safely eat those raw. But there's a coating on mushrooms that keeps nutrients from being absorbed in your body that needs to be broken down for cooking. So it's best for the nutrients to cook them. They also just, you can get sick, like if shiitakes, eating them raw can make you sick in general. And it just tastes better. And in general, yeah, you should.
Yeah, they don't taste
always
good.
Cook the mushrooms. No.
The shiitakes are raw, do not taste good.
No, they're
but,
not.
I mean, I used to pick the button mushrooms up at farmers markets and eat them raw. And until my neighbor in Philadelphia, of course, he knows all about Kennett Square and whatnot, said if you saw what they grew in, you wouldn't be eating them unwashed.
Well, I mean, it's sterilized. I think, it's grown in, there's usually the substrate, as it's called, is a mixture of compost, usually in sawdust. And the compost can be sterilized manure. But it is sterilized, and that's what all cultivated mushrooms are grown in on this substrate of a mixture, depending on what mushroom they're growing. It's safe. I mean, it's not going to hurt you if you get a little bit of dirt in your. Well, it tastes great, but it's not going to hurt you in any way. Whereas forage mushrooms, that's a different story. So you got to be a little more careful, and especially you don't want to eat any foraged mushroom raw. You always cook mushrooms.
That my neighbor, her husband has a rural camp, and he forages. And she gave me a gigantic maitake. Is that how you pronounce it? Maitake.
Maitake.
And I put it in the sink to wash it, and all these bugs climbed out of it.
Oh, it's a little extra protein.
So anyhow, so going back to this, tell us about all cookbooks seem to have this thing about how to stock your pantry and this kind of stuff. Yours is all very specific to mushrooms, which is a change of pace and very valuable for this book. But talk to us, and you have a section on cooking methods, braising, sautéing, dry sautéing, roasting, and then you have measurements. You must have a scientific background because you have all these details of getting it all right proportion-wise and so forth, and you go into details with the methods of cooking too. And cleaning mushrooms and storage of mushrooms. But now your recipes, how did you come about those?
Well, I have a little bit of a background with recipe development. I think that's, I still love to enter. I don't get there. Let me tell you this. I was self-taught largely, but I studied the Julia Child's books. I did the classic. When you couldn't go to cooking school, you'd work her two books. You go through every book and create all those recipes. I did take some French classes in Paris. I took several classes in Paris. I believe in learning technique. That, to me, that's really important. Rather than following a recipe, learn how to braise, learn how to saute, learn all the basic cooking techniques, and then you can, you know, move on from there. You know, expand from there with your own, your own interpretations. I began entering cooking competitions at, man, it was probably 15, 20 years ago, I guess, and I really enjoy them. I still do, and that is a form of recipe development. So you can, and I'm an artist by trade. That was my training, and I love creating new recipes. And so the mushrooms are wonderful. So it was such a blast to have the opportunity to have each. To experiment with all these different mushrooms over a period of about 3.5 years.
They're so unique. And
each one is, and each one needs to be prepared a little bit differently, and each one should be stored differently, and each one, they taste differently, and they've found the best ways to get the most flavor out of some of them, and I love to create recipes. I still do. I still compete. I just enjoy it. So yes, writing this book was and photographing them as an artist, I really enjoyed trying to capture their beauty through photography and also just to show. So these are not foraged mushrooms per se. As you'll see, you won't be able to find these mushrooms sometimes out of a woods or farmer's market. But these are. Many of these were actually cultivated out of the country, and and we can't cultivate. I'm going to talk to you about this. You can't really cultivate many of these mushrooms here in the States. So I was able to, through a purveyor in New York, find these beautiful, fresh, with no bug bites and no dirt on them, and they're just clean and beautiful, and to make them to show off what they really look like, and I think they're very appetizing when you see them that way, even more so. Even though they're naturally beautiful in the woods, that they also are beautiful when they're just pristine and they're, you know, young, fresh beauty. They're so, they look different than ones you'll find usually in the woods. But they're all
photography.
All
mm-hmm. I'm looking at these morels. I lived in Indiana for a while. And there, people had their secret morel patches, and they would take the location of their grave rather than tell anybody where it was.
Sure.
and then we had one of our friends she would forage all these the mushrooms and have a big party, and all it was all made the same. All the dishes were using them. So Peter, my husband Peter, when he did a project in Washington State, he would sometimes come home with a big bag, a paper bag full of mushrooms, of morels.
Oh,
welcome.
How lucky you.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and we were at the Greenbrier on some sort of business trip. And I asked for a side dish of nothing but morels, and I never found out what it cost, but it was probably quite a lot.
Yeah, you better not know.
Better not to know. So,
better not know.
Anyhow. My granddaughter, for some reason, well, I know now what the reason was. I didn't understand why she's a very adventurous eater, and she liked all kinds of food. She didn't like anything. She did not like mushrooms. And when I pressed her on it, it turned out that the reason she didn't like mushrooms is she didn't like the texture. So texture is a big thing with mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people say that, and I don't. I'm guessing they just had mushrooms out of a can, or maybe from someone who overfilled the pan and they got soggy. I don't understand that, but I know that is a common complaint. If you're cooked properly, they should be nice and have a nice sear on the outside, and if they're fresh, I love the texture. And plus different mushrooms have different textures, but
that's true.
Mhm. Well, good for her. But sad that she doesn't like a mushroom. But that's like I said,
I
that's really
know.
common. That's one
I
reason why
haven't given up. I haven't given up on that. That's a mission, because that's what I mean.
good.
Mushrooms are very important. I mean,
But
started
good that she did it. Yeah.
my mother gave me a book called Up Your Potassium, and that was mainly about mushrooms. And so they're really important for your potassium.
They have a lot of vitamins in them. Different, yeah. They're depending again. Some mushrooms more than others, but they're. Yeah, I hope you can manage to convince her that they're good. Because if she's an adventurous eater, like you say, maybe you just have to give her a taste of a good one or two to convince
Well,
her.
your recipes are all very inventive and alluring. I mean, I kept wanting to have the finished product. I've never seen mushroom desserts before. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is one of my favorite mushrooms, and candy caps. They taste like, oh, you have to try this. You have to find some dried candy caps. You can order them online. They smell, they're most intense. I mean, you open this little, you open your little plastic container of dried mushrooms, and the smell of this maple, slightly umami, there's a little bit of an earthiness to it, but really strong flavor of maple, and it'll overtake your room. You will smell them through the whole house. It's just they're so
Amazing.
intense. It's amazing when they're fresh, they don't smell like they don't have that kind of aroma. But when you dry them, this beautiful maple its aroma comes out, and
Yes.
you make a simple syrup with them. That's what I do mainly, and then and put that in desserts. You can steep them in cream. They're just
Yeah, I'm looking
wonderful, and
at
then.
candy cap crème brûlée. Who would have thought?
Oh, it's people make bread puddings with them. They're wonderful. They are really wonderful. And actually have some here right now. I'm doing an article this month in for Fungi Magazine using candy caps for spring, and they're just so much fun to work with because of that, and they're so unique. Most people have never you wouldn't you gotta try them. They're really really something
Yeah,
special.
well, I mean, I'm gonna break out and try one of these. Here's chanterelle apricot galette with armagnac and vanilla creme fraiche. Now, where did
That's
that
a
come
good one.
from?
Chanterelles have an apricot scent to them, so I thought, it's just a good pairing, and they it's one of my favorite recipes, actually. They cook up nicely with the sugar and the honey, and they're delicious, and they work great in a tart. You wouldn't know they you would never think mushroom when you're eating it.
It's just
It's
amazing.
super nice.
And I never even heard of some of this, and I thought I knew mushrooms. Cordyceps.
Oh,
What are they?
those are. Have you seen the movie, the series, The Last of Us, where the
I
cordyceps?
didn't see it, but I've read a lot about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's where it overtakes people's brains. It's like a zombie movie. This is based on the cordyceps. Cordyceps, the spores of cordyceps. This isn't very appetizing, but the cordyceps spores. When a bug crawls on to as it's affected by these spores, whether it's on the actual plant or where these spores have landed, it like paralyzes them, and then the cordyceps grows within the bug, and actually the cordyceps itself grows out of the bug. Like something out of
Shoot.
a, it's creepy as heck, but
It's creepy.
it is creepy. But I was able to get some fresh. They're very difficult to find fresh unless you cultivate them, and not many people are doing that. I think some people are starting to do that now here, but you can grow them on rice. So you can actually, I've tasted the fresh ones, and that's why there's recipes for fresh cordyceps. Because I think more people are, that's one of those, super, mega vitamin mushrooms that a lot of people are using for powders and tinctures and so forth, but they taste good fresh. I just would never use. I would never try a foraged one. I've never seen one, and there's no way I would cook one of those. But you can. The cultivated ones have a kind of a citrusy flavor, and they worked real nice in a pasta dish and with greens. They're very good, but they're wild. I mean, they're just it's that whole how they. how they propagate is just pretty wild. But yeah, it's
Yeah, I'm looking
they're
at
cool. They're
the
interesting.
you included wheat locoche.
Another good
You
one.
included that in, and yeah, and you included them. What else was it? I'm just looking at that you included it. I was surprised. Trumpets are good.
I love trumpet.
Trumpets are wonderful, me too. And Lion's Mane, we have a local producer, and she has access to just about everything, and that's her favorite mushroom.
Is it? Well,
Yeah.
I like it. I
It's a,
like it. I think they're cool. They're not. I probably wouldn't call them my favorite mushroom, but they're certainly a good mushroom. And they again have a really great medicinal qualities. Helps to help your brain. They're using it for Alzheimer's research studies. It's supposed to. They got
Really?
two or three. Yeah, they have chemicals in those mushrooms that are said to help with neurological. Growth in your of you know reforming connections in your brain. It's kind of and this is research. I can't say it's absolutely a fact, but that's what's being they're being used for that right now. They have a they're wonderful when they're fresh. I think they can have a little bit of an too earthy flavor for me when they get a little older. But you can soak them in buttermilk and if you don't like that flavor and they're kind of eliminates it like you would with anything that's gamey. But overall, no, people love those mushrooms. They're really, really popular.
Really.
And
And now
they're
here's
kind of
another
sweet.
one I never heard of is Nebbiolini.
Oh, that's probably one of my favorites. That's one of my top three. Those grow, and I haven't, after I wrote the book, I've not seen one, I've not found one, a fresh Nebbiolini since. They grew on the in the mountains, the Nebbiolini Mountains of Sicily, and that's the only place
Oh,
that they
really?
grow. Yeah, and they became extinct, or nearly extinct, and they stopped people from foraging them.
Oh,
I don't
really?
think they're
I've been
still
in
not,
Sicily.
I don't think it's legal yet.
I've been in Sicily a lot. That's my background, and I never even heard of them. Not
Oh.
let alone I hadn't seen any.
They were not available. Then somebody, I've forgotten the gentleman's name, found a way to cultivate them. So they were being cultivated here in the States, and I haven't seen them. I was able to buy some, like I said, through this purveyor I had in New York, and I can't find them now. But I'm sure they'll crop up again. They're sort of a version of an oyster. They're more similar to like a pearl oyster mushroom. They have a very mild, almost seafood flavor to them, and they're just beautiful. They're so sculptural. They're like 5, 6 inches across, and as you can see from the photos,
Wow.
they're just stunningly beautiful. So I'm hoping to find some more of those at some point. And so I've had to include them just in case we do start seeing them crop up more and more. But yeah, they were so popular in Italy that they're called the grilling mushroom in Italy. They do grill up very well.
Really?
But so they had to ban people from picking them to let them
Oh,
regrow.
wow. Now,
Yeah.
you've included truffles. So they're not really mushrooms, are they?
No, they're a fungus, but I was on the fence about that, whether to include them or not. But I think at least they deserve a mention in the book.
Well, you know,
So,
Peter and I, my husband and I, were around when they were introducing the growing truffles in Australia.
oh.
And the yeah, because well, I mean, it's perfect if you think about it, because it's the opposite time of the year from Europe, and we visited a couple of truffle growers, and the one in Tasmania, I think was a
Cheater.
A cheater, my husband just threw in here. Yeah, he was a cheater.
Okay.
But the one that was in South Australia was Dr. somebody, right? Western Australia, that's it, Western Australia. And he was a scientist, a doctor. and was really very into it, and it was a very honorable truffle. You know, in Italy, they used to use pigs. I know you know all this, the forage, but the pigs would eat the truffles. So that's when they started training dogs, because the dogs would eat the truffle. I mean, can you picture the pigs find the truffles, and before you get there, they scarf them up.
So, you can't really blame them.
Well, but so in Western Australia, they had they would take tennis balls and soak them in truffle, the chemical of truffle essence, aroma, and then bury them, and then send the dogs out, and that's how they trained the dogs. And the dogs, you see, would not eat the truffles. So,
you'd give them steak after they dug them up. You'd give them a piece of steak instead, and they were.
I've had American truffles, and they were nothing. I mean, from Oregon, I don't know. I was never able to convince any of my colleagues to grow them, because it takes so many years for the truffle to be produced. So you plant the trees, and then you wait forever.
I've heard that. I'm not a huge. I like the flavor of truffles a little bit, but I'm not as big a fan as some people are, I guess. But you can't exclude them. They are an amazing.
To be honest, there are other mushrooms. I mean, there are other fungi or fungi or whatever that you say that actually I like a lot better.
Me too.
So here's a recipe for chicken of the woods, tinga. Now, different parts of the world have their own traditions with the mushrooms, right? I mean, like Asia has. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sure. Of course, they're very popular in Asia. The chicken tinga was I just tried to make some of the recipes where people could see making a dish that you just give a piece of chicken in the woods. It looks like it doesn't look like even like a mushroom. And this way you could say, I can make it into a tinga. You know, I can make it into a chicken, Parmesan or they can become more familiar. It's easier for them to go ahead and think that they want to make it, because it's not something so too foreign, too out of their comfort zone, because the mushroom probably will be. There's an article in America, Japan Times did a review of the book, and they use mushrooms. Asia, of course, is just they're very mushroom centric over there. I think it's in a lot of their dishes. But I did try to make a variety of dishes of that.
I mean, I'm looking at this one, mushroom Wellington with herb chèvre and Madeira sauce. So, did you make that one up?
Yeah. Those are
it's
all
incredible.
My recipes. Yes. It's a good
one. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you.
I mean, first of all, I always had a problem with beef Wellington. Because it used to be one of my husband's favorite dishes, but I always ended up with a soggy crust, or that space in between the crust and the meat being soggy, and it just was unsatisfying. But this looks like you could make it work.
Probably is less. It would be less soggy than with using the meat. I thought it came out pretty well. Make sure that the ducelle or duxelle is not too soggy. That helps too. And I like the goat cheese in the center. I thought that added a little extra creaminess and flavor to it too. And it's people aren't expecting that when you cut into it. You know, to see mushrooms instead of a piece of a nice piece of medium rare tenderloin in there. It's a mushroom. So there are a lot of people now that are vegans and vegetarians, so I think they do appreciate more.
That's part of why mushrooms have come, because a lot of vegetarians will order a portobello without a so they don't do meat.
Right.
But
they're very,
what was something that always gave me a chuckle is how many people do not realize the portobellos are really the same as the regular old rub-and-bill mushrooms, except older, bigger.
Older.
There was a cartoon. There was a cartoon somewhere that had a little elf and a mushroom saying, "I'm gonna leave here. When I grow up, I'm gonna go live in a portobello."
Oh.
That doesn't translate quite well. Oh dear. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know what you're working on next, but you sure did a crack up job on this one. Listeners, this could maybe be a life changing cookbook for your run of the mill every day. I mean, I don't understand steak, for example, because every bite tastes the same, and all you do is stew. But here, you have such a variety of mushrooms and a variety of cooking methods and seasonings. Now, listeners, again, this is Krista Towns, who's really earns a lot of accolades for this. Mushroom Gastronomy is the book.
Well, and thank you, Anne, for having me on. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, I appreciate your coming on. And I look forward to trying that one sweet mushroom thing to see if it works.
Okay.
And also, I'm going to do the Wellington too.
So, oh, go for it!
Thank
you.
Let me
know how it works. All right. Thank you so much. Have a
great. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.